Good morning, and can I welcome you to worship on this very particular and special day. If you're visiting with us, you are very specially welcomed. Tea and coffee will be served after the service, and you are all warmly invited to meet with each other there. So let us worship God as we sing together in our opening hymn, hymn number 715. Behold, the mountain of the Lord in latter days shall rise. And so let us come together in prayer. For the Lord is here, and the Lord is listening to his people. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we come into your presence and we give to you praise and worship and honor. For you are the God who is from everlasting to everlasting. You are the great creator of all things, and in you all things live and move and have our being. You are the Lord who has given life to us, and you are the Lord who is present with us in all our trials and in all our troubles. Heavenly Father, we come, and we come to worship and to adore you, for you are the God who has made himself known. You have come to us in your word, that we might read and hear and listen, that we may learn of your goodness and of your great grace. And you are the God who has come to us in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, in him who was from all eternity your beloved Son, in him who reigned in glory and in majesty, and yet who surrendered all that he might come and be made flesh, flesh of our flesh, to dwell among us, to reveal the beauty of your grace and the wonder of your love. And we remember that he did so upon the cross of Calvary, where he took our sins and paid the price that set us free. And so, gracious Father, we come this morning in his name, because he is the Lord who, having saved his people, has gathered them to himself, and he gathers us into the fellowship of his people. He is become our great Lord and King, and we come that we may worship and adore him. So, gracious Father, give us to know his presence with us in this day, and help us in all that we do, in singing and in speaking, in hearing and in listening, to receive your blessing. And Father, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, it's lovely to see you here this morning, and I've got something very special to show you. It's maybe a strange thing to show you, and it does not look very exciting. It's an old grey case, and this case belonged to my wife's father, and it was very important to him. He was not able to go to war because he was too old, but he did serve in his local community, and there were things which were very important to him, and they're in this old case which we found in his loft. And he had kept them for many, many years. And this one is a helmet. Though he was not able to go to war, and though he worked in a shipyard, he did serve at home to protect the people around him. And when bombers came over and dropped their bombs, he went out to try and make sure that everyone was safe. And he wore this helmet. Would anyone like to volunteer to put on this helmet? Oh, first hand up, out you come. Now you're in a very special position, so you should step up there, so that everyone can see you. No, in the middle. How does it feel?
Heavy.
Heavy. It is very, very heavy. But you see, it had to be heavy, because when bombs were falling and you had to go out and help and lead the people, you needed to be kept safe. I don't know how safe this would have kept you, but it would give you some protection. So thank you very much for coming out. There was a helmet. And there was also something else. Does anyone know what this is? It's a bag. Well done. It's a bag. I asked a silly question. I should have said, does anyone know what is in this bag? Oh, come out to the front. Did you know too? It's the front. I did not think for a moment that any of the children would know what was in this. But they were right. What is it?
Gas mask.
A gas mask. It's going to come. Is it going to come? Oh. I'm not actually sure that it's supposed to come out. But it is a gas mask. Would you like to try it on? Yeah. But I'm not going to let you try it on, because this is full of something called asbestos, which is very dangerous. But no one knew that then. Well, tell you what, I'll hold it up. You can look through it. Okay, that's you. And something else. And this he had in his family from the First World War. And it's called the gospel according to St. John. And these were issued to all the soldiers in the last war so that they could keep it in their pocket. And on the front it says, can you read that writing? No. It's from Lord Roberts. It's Lord Roberts' message. And when you get around for bad writing at school, just you say to your teacher, but it's still better than Lord Roberts. I ask you to put your trust in God. He will watch over you and strengthen you. You will find in this little book guidance when you are in health, comfort when you are in sickness, and strength. What does that say?
When
you are in
comfort.
When you are in adversity. And it's signed Robert.
Robert.
These were the things that were supposed to keep the people safe who went out in the streets at night when the bombers came over, and they were to help the people out of their houses and get to safety. Do you think that would have given them a lot of protection? No, I don't think so either. But maybe that little book gave them a lot of protection, because it is the Gospel of John, and it records the words of Jesus. So thank you very much for coming out to help. I'm sorry you couldn't put on the gas mask, but it's full of asbestos, and it would be very dangerous. But people then did not know how dangerous asbestos was. And it wasn't as dangerous as the bombs.
It can kill you.
It can kill you. Yeah. So only you would ask that question. So you can go and sit down. So we remember this day how awful and how terrible war is. But we are also remembering this day the people who fought for our country against a terrible enemy. And we are thanking God that He gave to us a victory. And with that victory, He gave to us freedom. The people who fought against us hated God. And life under them was cruel and terrible. But God delivered our nation. And so we have freedom. And we have freedom to come to worship and to worship God this morning. But we are remembering that meant that many, many people from our country died. They died fighting for this country, and fighting so that you and I would have the freedom to meet and to worship God this morning. And so we remember all of that with thankfulness. And we're going to sing together. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loved us, and He became our Saviour, and He is our Saviour still. And as we remember those who fought for us, we remember the fight that the Lord Jesus had, the one who went to the cross to deliver us from our sins. And so let us sing together in hymn number 564, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Come to read together the Word of God, we will sing our prayer for understanding, which is taken from Mission Praise 608, and we sing verses 1 and 2. Speak, Lord, in the stillness, while I wait on Thee, hushed my heart to listen in expectancy. And Psalms 124, and you'll find that on page 623 in the Pew Bible. Psalm 124. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's nest, snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. And so let us sing again in hymn number 446, singing verses 1, 3, and 6. Lord, thy word abideth. In Psalm 124, the psalmist is celebrating the miraculous deliverance of God's people. The enemy had gathered to destroy them. They were stronger, swifter, cunning and cruel, and victory was almost theirs. But the Lord was on the side of his people. Psalm 124 gives us four little pictures. Pictures that bring out how close God's people had come to disaster. In verse 3, the psalmist says that the enemy was like a great sea monster ready to swallow us up. As a fish leaps to take a fly and takes it in one gulp, so we were almost taken. It had risen from the waters, its mouth gaped open, and we would have been swallowed whole if the Lord had not been on our side. In verse 4, the enemy was like a flash flood sweeping over the dry wadi, carrying all before it. The raging waters were upon us. The proud waters had gone over us, and we would have been swept utterly away if the Lord had not been on our side. In verse 6, the enemy was like a lion of prey that kills without mercy and tears its victims in pieces. The lion has come. It is over us. Its teeth are already closing. And they would have torn us to pieces if it had not been that the Lord was on our side. In verse 7, the enemy is like the net of the fowler, which is cast over the unsuspecting birds. And they see it too late, and they rise only to be ensnared, and the more they struggle, the more they are entangled. And says the psalmist, the net is thrown. It is over our heads. And we would have been taken in that snare if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Disaster. How close. And how all-consuming. The mouth is gaping, the waters are raging, the lion is pouncing, the net is thrown. But, says the psalmist, the Lord was on our side. And see how complete was his delivering power. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. It is often so in the Bible that God allows his people to come close to disaster. He allows his people to come to a place where they are utterly helpless and hopeless. And then, when all seems lost, he acts in delivering power to save his people. We thought ourselves helpless and hopeless. But oh, the Lord was on our side, says the psalmist. And he acted in mighty delivering power. On the 10th of May 1940, Adolf Hitler unleashed a military onslaught on France and Belgium. And within only a few days, the British army, outmaneuvered and unprepared, found themselves with their backs to the sea and hemmed in by the enemy. The German High Command was able to boast with confidence that its troops were proceeding to annihilate the British army. That the total destruction of an entire army was imminent was a view shared by many in the military and political leadership in Britain. And Prime Minister Churchill found himself preparing to announce to the public an unprecedented military catastrophe involving the capture or the death of a third of a million soldiers. But it didn't happen. On Thursday, 23rd of May, King George requested that the following Sunday be observed as a national day of prayer. Late on the Saturday evening, the military decision was taken to evacuate as many as possible of the Allied forces. And on the Sunday, the nation devoted itself to prayer in an unprecedented way. There were overflowing congregations. In places of worship across the land, long queues formed outside cathedrals. People gathered to the churches. On the same day, an urgent request went out for boats of all sizes and shapes to cross the English Channel to rescue the besieged army. It was a call which ultimately was answered by 800 vessels, large and small, and some very small indeed. Even before the praying had begun, curious things had begun to happen. Isn't it often that way with prayer? Do you sometimes find that you are praying for something and yet God has already answered it? But you still, as yet, do not know. For he knows what all our prayers will be. He does not only move to answer prayers that have been said, but he is moving to answer your prayers even before they are spoken. God was answering the prayers of this nation even before they were spoken. In a decision that infuriated his generals, Hitler ordered his army to halt. It made absolutely no sense. Had they continued to fight, the destruction of the Allied forces would have been inevitable, and the war would have taken a different, darker, and more terrible path. And our nation, our beloved land, would have been overwhelmed. Yet for 3 days, the German tanks and soldiers stood still while the evacuation unfolded. Not only so, on the Tuesday, bad weather grounded the Luftwaffe, allowing soldiers to march unhindered to the beaches. In contrast, on the Wednesday, the following day, the weather was unusually good. The sea was unusually calm, making an evacuation possible. And by the time the German army was finally ordered to renew its attack, over 338,000 troops had been snatched from the beaches. And many of them were to return 4 years later to liberate Europe. Well, some might say it was a matter of strange coincidences, but it wasn't considered that way at the time. On Sunday the 9th of June, it was declared a national day of thanksgiving, and Churchill himself used the phrase "the miracle of Dunkirk." The psalmist is speaking of a time when Israel was in terrible peril. Their enemies were swifter, more cunning, battle-hardened, well-armored. And what possible hope had little Israel of facing such an enemy? But the Lord was on the side of his people, and his people were delivered. A deliverance that was not by their strength or their cunning or their doing. They would have been utterly overwhelmed. The Lord was on our side, and the Lord was on their side. For the Christian, this little psalm is lit up by our knowledge of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. For the Lord has redeemed the helpless and the hopeless. You and I, before God, before the righteousness of God, before his blazing holiness, were utterly helpless and hopeless. We were by nature sinful men and women. We were by our actions and our doings and our thinking and our feelings sinful men and women under the just and righteous law of God. But the Lord Jesus Christ was on our side. When we were utterly hopeless and lost, we were close to complete disaster. But the Lord was on our side. Isn't it astonishing when you sit and quietly think on it? You know your hearts. You know your life. You know the things that you have done and the things that you would have done if God's Spirit had not restrained you. We were sinners, facing the wrath of a holy God. And yet the Lord Jesus came, sent by his Father to take our side. He was the Lord who became flesh. He came flesh to be with you and with me. He was made flesh so that he might die in my place and in yours. He was made flesh so that he may become our advocate with the Father. Does that ever cause you to wonder? And maybe to cause you wonder, especially in those times when you're conscious of all the wrong things you've done, does it ever cause you to wonder that the Lord Jesus, who is glorified in the presence of his Father, who is able to gaze upon the wonders and the glory of his Father, pleads for you? Does that cause you to wonder? He knows your name. He knows all that you have ever done. All the hurt you have caused, the wounds you have inflicted. He knows all these things. And yet, he gave himself up for your sake and for mine. He did not come simply to preach to us, though his words are wonderful. He did not come to give us only a perfect example, though his life is beautiful. He did not come simply to be our companion, though he is our companion, and fellowship with him is sweet. But he came to bear all the guilt of your sin and of mine. Every thoughtless deed, every unkind word, every selfish action, all that is within us, that inclination to sin, he took all of that into himself so that he might stand in our place and be judged in our place and bear our judgment. Isn't that astonishing? To have such a Saviour. A Saviour who is on the side of his people. Our help, says the Scripture, is in the name of the Lord. And what can separate us from the love of Christ? For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We remember on this Easter Sunday a victory that was miraculous. And there are historians who use that word. And we have the freedoms that we enjoy today because men and women stood for our nation and for this people. And the sacrifice was great. But there was a greater enemy that stood against us, that made the armies of Nazi Germany look like nothing. And the great enemy that stood against us, and the great enemy that stands against you and I, is the law of God, the demand of God, that we obey Him with all our hearts and with all our souls and with all our minds and serve only Him. But we, in a thousand little ways in all of our days, serve ourselves. We need not commit great sins. I doubt if any of you are a murderer. I doubt that many of you may be a thief. But all of us have selfish hearts and think first of ourselves, and that is sin. We were utterly lost and helpless. But Jesus Christ is come. He has come, and He has delivered and redeemed His people. And He calls us to enter into that liberty and that redemption. What happened all these years ago? The thing we are remembering this day, the thing we are giving thanks for this day, is the astonishing victory of our nation. And we are rejoicing in the freedom we have. But can I urge you also this day to remember the astonishing victory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who took our sins upon Himself and who died in our place so that we might be redeemed and so that we might be saved, not from any earthly power, but from the terrible judgments of God. The psalm speaks of a people who are redeemed, and redeemed from a terrible enemy. And the word of the psalm tells us, because our help is in the name of the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. And that same redeeming God speaks to us this morning. Do you know Him? Do you know His redemption? Do you know the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus can give? Do you know the hope of God's people? And will you stand before Him on the last day, pure and glorious in His sight, and hear Him say a Father's words, "Welcome, my sons and my daughters"? Amen, and may God bless His word to us. And we sing again as we bring, sorry, we do not sing again, but we do sing again in hymn 405. We sing the praise of him who died, of him who died upon the cross. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving that we live in a nation where there is peace. We complain about many things, and some things should be complained of. But Lord, help us to remember the liberty and freedoms that we enjoy. Things that many in our world do not enjoy, but you have given to us this peace that we celebrate. And for that, gracious Father, we thank you. And we pray that you would help us to be peacemakers, to be peaceable people, to be people who care for others. Lord, this is a day of great thanksgiving. For we thank you for the deliverance of our nation. But we do pray for the other nations of our world. And we remember those places where there is strife and conflict, where people are abused and discounted, where the children cry and the old people weep. Heavenly Father, we pray for our suffering world. And we ask, gracious Father, that in your great grace and mercy, the time will be short and the Lord Jesus Christ shall come in glory and in great power, King of the ages and Lord of all creation, the one who will gather all your people, and your people will stand before you in praise and in thanksgiving, and the sound of war will be heard no more, nor any angry word, for we will be filled with the love of Christ and with the joy of our Father. Heavenly Father, speed that day, we pray. And as we look to that day, we would dedicate ourselves to be your people in this place as peacemakers, as reflections of the grace of Christ, as those who are moved by your Spirit. And we pray for our community which knows much of sorrow, in wounded children and in broken homes. We pray for our community where people are so often confused about what is right and about what is good. We pray for our community and for those who are helpless and hopeless. And we ask that you would make each of us ministers of your grace to whoever we come in contact with each day, reflecting the love of Christ, and speaking, when we speak, words of grace and love. And Father, be with our nation. We often think of the folly of our leaders, but Heavenly Father, we pray for our nation, that peace may reign, that wisdom may rule, that this people would be drawn together as one people under God. So, Heavenly Father, receive our offering and hear these our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. And we sing again in hymn number 498. Our O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Let us pray. And now, gracious Father, we ask that the grace of your Spirit and the love of your Son and your unending goodness and grace would rest upon us both now and forevermore.